Hey, I'm Tyler with the Sports Stop. You're here to listen to me talk about sports, right? Okay, let's talk.
All right, starting us off with some breaking news. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals have agreed to a huge contract extension. Now, the contract is a 5-year, $230.5 million contract. So if you want to break down the math on that, it's $46.1 million per year for his annual average, and it's 160 million guaranteed. So that's a pretty good contract. It's hard because later on in the podcast, we're gonna be breaking down how that kind of compares to the Deshaun Watson contract, because honestly, I thought Kyler Murray was gonna get more money. Guaranteed. To be honest, I know a lot of the media was thinking that these next few quarterbacks, like the what was Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jacksons of the world, I thought, and many of the media thought this too, as soon as that Deshaun Watson contract hit the market, it just blew everything out of the water. And we all thought that those five quarterbacks who I just named, Lamar, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, and the rest. The new branch of quarterbacks that's gonna get paid in the next year or two. We all thought that the Browns offer, what they gave Deshaun Watson, was gonna be the floor for those quarterbacks. And it doesn't look like that's the case, honestly. Yes, the QB market has exploded in the last, 4 to 5 years, but it looks like that the Deshaun Watson contract might be a little bit of an outlier, and these NFL owners are not branching out and giving players fully guaranteed contracts. Now, over the last decade or so, players have been getting more fully guaranteed contracts. And you used to think as football, like a decade, 2 decades ago, about how it was a very, very physical sport and contracts were more towards the owner's side and you took every penny. Now, honestly, these contracts are like 70% guaranteed. You look at the Tyreek Hill contract, that one's a little bit under 70% fully guaranteed, but he got $120 million from the Dolphins and $72 million fully guaranteed. So if you do the math, that's around like 60%. So it's a huge contract. You look at Devontae Adams, he got a pretty max guarantee contract. Aaron Rodgers, I think he got like $150 million out of the $200 million guaranteed. So what is that? 75%. So going back to Kyler Murray, it is a great contract. I think if I had to, you can't really put it, be like, oh, the Cardinals won that negotiation, or like the Cowboys with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott blew the Cowboys out of the water. Dak Prescott easily won that contract negotiation. And looking back at it, it's definitely Dak Prescott. And you look at this contract with Kyler Murray, you're not really saying one side really won the contract negotiation. Kyler Murray got his big contract extension he wanted, which fully applaud that. Kyler Murray, go get your money. Glad he got it. And the Cardinals, they didn't give in to what the Browns gave Deshaun Watson. And I think that's a huge win for NFL owners and GMs, because honestly, if Kyler Murray got the same contract Deshaun Watson got, these next branch of quarterbacks, like I mentioned, Lamar, Herbert, Burrow, all them, they're all going to be like, okay, Murray and Deshaun Watson got that contract. That's the floor we're starting at. And that's not the floor, I guess. I think the floor for those quarterbacks, the floor is going to be Kyler Murray, and I think the ceiling is Deshaun Watson. I don't see any more teams giving out fully guaranteed contracts. I don't see it. It's, at the end of the day, it's still football, and anything can happen. Your career can end in one play. So I think the Deshaun Watson contract is just an outlier. I think the Browns were just desperate, and they gave Deshaun Watson all the money he wanted, and they told him, refuse this contract. We dare you. And to Deshaun Watson's part, he took the contract, and he should have, because that's a lot of damn money over 5 years. Now, I think there's like Jimmy G, and we'll talk about Jimmy G in later of the podcast. I think Kyler Murray got that contract, and he really pushed for it early because he was 2 years early of needing a contract. And I think Kyler Murray said, look, I get injured often. Every single year I play in the NFL, I've gotten injured at the end of the year and I've declined. I want my money now. And that's what he did. And that's not news at all. Everybody knows that. You could be an average NFL fan and be like, yeah, he's just getting his money because he keeps declining at the end of the year and he keeps getting injured at the end of the year. But I think it's been a little overrated on how many games Kyler Murray's missed. Now, I was doing some digging on Pro Football Reference, and I was looking at the 3 years that Kyler Murray played in the NFL so far. He's only missed three games, and those three games are all from last year. He missed the last 3 years, or the last three games of last year's season. So he played games 1 through 14, and then 15, 16, 17 he missed. Otherwise, Kyler Murray's played full seasons. Now, the second part to that is he has been injured at the end of every year. Now, the first two seasons he's played every game, he's been injured. So at the end of the day, he's still injured, but he's at least playing. Now, playing while you're injured isn't a great deal always. Look at Baker Mayfield. He dug himself into the deepest hole for playing while he was injured last year. And look where he is now. So that's kind of my thought on the Kyler Murray contract. I think he stacks up as a top three or five paid quarterback now per annual average, which, like I said, is $46.1 million. I think, obviously, he didn't set the quarterback market. I think that's where he should have gotten paid. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers got $50 million, and the Packers just were suckers for that. Because what other options they have? They know Jordan Love can't play. So I think that's where Kyler Murray should have been in the contract talks, and where he should have landed in the per annual average for quarterbacks. Obviously, everybody thinks it's a lot of money, but give it like 1 or 2 years. By the time this contract actually sets in, Kyler Murray's probably going to be like the 10th highest paid quarterback, and maybe the 12th. So looking, when this contract actually starts, it's going to be a pretty team-friendly contract. So it's going to be good. I actually really like this. Now I'm saying it more. I'm liking it for the Cardinals side, because you're seeing the league go way more towards the offensive side of the ball, and quarterbacks are getting hit less and less and less, and defenses are kind of eroding. I wouldn't say they're eroding, but defenses aren't nearly as good as they were 15 years ago, 10 years ago even. So I think that's where you leave it. I think the Cardinals did slightly win the contract negotiation. I think it's more of like a 60% Cardinals side, 40% Kyler Murray. I think it's one of those things where you look back and you're like, that was a great deal for both sides. That was a great deal for both sides. Kyler Murray got his money that he wanted. He got his money for the future, so he's set for generations and generations and on. And the Cardinals got their guy through the 2028 season. And we'll see what the Cardinals can do. Now, one more topic I wanted to touch on for this Kyler Murray situation is, what do I think the floor is going to be? And what do I think the ceiling is going to be for Kyler Murray in this contract with the Cardinals? Now, I'm talking about wins. Now, this is kind of hard to predict because obviously you can't just be like, oh, that player signed for that many years, they're going to win that many games. It's not like the NBA where you had LeBron in his prime, and you, as long as you had LeBron, you're at least getting to the conference finals. That's not how football works. So I say the floor for the Cardinals is at least the playoffs for like four of the next, 6 years? I think they're going to make the playoffs the next 4 of the 6 years, at least. Now, I think there'll be a year, which every team has every year, is like the Ravens last year, they just got too injured and they fell out. I think the Cardinals will maybe have one. Hopefully they don't have a year like that, but you got to kind of take an account. Plus, a division is brutal. Brutal. So I think the floor is 4 playoff appearances in the next 6 years. And I think the ceiling is 1 Super Bowl. I don't think they're... It's even a stretch to say they'll win a Super Bowl. That's the ceiling, is 1 Super Bowl. So if the Cardinals get 1 Super Bowl out of this contract, they'll be very happy. Very happy. Kyler Murray is still young. He's like 24 years old, 25. So dude is young. He's a stud. I would say he's like a top 12 quarterback. I think by the end of this year, we'll recognize him as like a top 10 potentially. The NFL is just littered with so many good quarterbacks. But that is all the Kyler Murray stuff I wanted to talk about for this portion of the podcast. So yeah, we'll switch gears to the next topic. Right, going to the next segment, which we're sticking in football, and I did mention in the last portion of the podcast that we'll be talking about this topic. Now, this came out about a day or two ago. I think it was like a day ago. But Jimmy Garoppolo has been rumored and more cleared to start being able to fully throw a football in mid-August. And he should be full go in August, mid-August. Now, what does that mean for the 49ers? That means that they can trade Jimmy Garoppolo in the next, I don't know, week, 2 weeks. Now, according to Don Yee, Jimmy Garoppolo's agent, the 49ers did say to Garoppolo and his agent, Don Yee, that they can seek a trade and see what teams are interested in him. Because obviously everybody knows the 49ers want to try out Trey Lance this year and see how he does, because they spent like 3 first-round picks on Trey Lance. They want to see him throw. And now, obviously, they need to get Jimmy Garoppolo out of the locker room, because like many 49ers players have come out and said, Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the guys. He's a dominating locker room presence, and I say that in the most sincere, best way possible. Like, we've seen George Kittle go out on podcast and say Jimmy Garoppolo is his boy. They love Jimmy Garoppolo in the locker room. And Jimmy Garoppolo, to his credit, dude's a winner. The dude has played for the Niners, 5 years? And out of those years, he's went to a Super Bowl, 2 NFC championship games, and the playoffs. Every year, he's not been injured. So say what you want about Jimmy Garoppolo, he is a winner. Now, it's not like the dude's carrying the team on his back. He's got some players on that team, and he's kind of under a quarterback-friendly scheme for the offense, which is the West Coast, you know, Kyle Shanahan scheme, where it's more of like a run the ball, like finesse, powerful type offense. But nonetheless, you can't just, it's not like you can throw any quarterback in that system and make them good and get as far as Jimmy Garoppolo has value, and he is a great quarterback. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo does have 1 year left on his contract. I think he's making like $27-28 million, which I think it's going to be a little bit in the Baker Mayfield situation where the 49ers might have to eat up a little bit of the contract to trade him. Maybe like $8-10 million max. But so the interesting part is, where does Jimmy Garoppolo get traded? Because I think if you left Jimmy Garoppolo on that team and traded him at the trade deadline or somewhere through when a quarterback gets injured for a couple games and he's going to miss, and a team doesn't want to miss the playoffs, I think that's when you would trade Jimmy Garoppolo, because then the team's going to be calling for him. But the 49ers did say they can seek a trade and see who's interested. Now, let's break down my three destinations that I've heard that could potentially have a Jimmy Garoppolo trade in their future. So the number one spot I've heard is the Giants. And I've heard this because they have all new coaching regime, and we don't know that they're going to want to stick with Daniel Jones. This regime didn't draft Daniel Jones, and head coach Brian Daboll is not going to want to go from Josh Allen to Daniel Jones. So I think you could potentially see, maybe before the season even starts, Jimmy Garoppolo get traded to the Giants. Or after two games, they're like, this is not working, we need something else, and they go get Jimmy G. So the Giants could be a very viable option. But he has a one-year deal. Now, they would have to extend him, but that's for like every team, obviously. The other team I could see is the Seahawks. Now, the Seahawks is a little tricky because they're in division. So I think they would have to give up a lot more than the rest of the teams, like the Giants or this other team I'm about to reveal after. I think, say, for example, you have to give up like a fourth or a fifth, which I think that's what the Giants would have to give up, is like a fourth, maybe a third. But I think if you say a third, fourth for the Giants, you're going to want to say a second, at least a second, maybe like a second and a fifth for the Seahawks. Just because you don't want to trade a quarterback and they come and back to burn you. That's not what they want. Especially because it's not like you're getting like 2-3 years out of Jimmy G and then he's old and trash. No, Jimmy G's like, he's got at least like 5-6 years left of good quarterback play at what he's at right now. So that's one option, or another option at least, is the Seattle Seahawks. But the draft compensation might get a little tricky because it's in division. Now, this team, if you said this like a week ago, it had a lot more oomph to it, and it could have been actually a thing, but I don't really see it happening as much now because of the news and we've been updated, is the Cleveland Browns trading for Jimmy G. A week ago, we didn't know Deshaun Watson was going to get a 2-8 game suspension, which that's not that bad. 8 games is a little bit rough. You could still trade for Jimmy G, but I think the Browns are just, they're paying so much money to quarterbacks, they don't want to trade for Jimmy G unless the Niners ate up a lot of that cap. So I don't really think Cleveland would work now, but it could still be an option. It actually came out today that they're working out, like, what was it, AJ McCarron and Josh Rosen for the Browns. And Cam Newton could potentially be a suitor. So I don't think the Cleveland Browns could happen. It's not likely now. Like, if I was going to give it a percent like last week, I would have gave it maybe like a 30% chance to happen with the Browns before all this news came out. But now, talking today, I'd give it probably like a 10% max. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Browns, I don't think the Browns will do it. Unless the Niners just ate up a lot of that contract. Because you're paying Deshaun Watson like $45 million. You're paying like $10 million of Baker Mayfield's salary. You're paying Jacoby Brissett. And then you're going to pay like $18 million of Jimmy G. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't. But it would be pretty cool to see how far Jimmy G could take that Browns team if he was on that squad. Especially with that run game. Whew. Team would be good. But that is all I have for this podcast as far as today. But I do plan on uploading more and putting on more podcasts. I also write articles. So type in the same name, the Sports Stop, and it'll come up on Instagram. I also have Twitter, and you can find all that good stuff. Yeah. So thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good day, and I'll see you later. Peace.